How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
What you need to know about Satan in order to defeat him. And here's what we learned about Satan. This is all written on your front page. We learned that he is lustful. We learned that he is a murderer. He's a killer. By the way, he is such a killer that he has no scruples about the intellectual age level of his victims. He has no problem killing the handicapped. He has no conscience. He's a killer. He kills children. He has succeeded in influencing America for the last 30 years to the killing out of one out of every seven Americans has been killed in the last 30 years before they were born. Pastor Ted, and we're grateful. On Sunday, I want him to give a report. He and Lynn were in Atlanta last week for a national week of prayer. And I want him to report. I was going to have him do it tonight, but I'd rather have it Sunday when some of those who don't come on Wednesdays will be here. And one of the remarks Ted made to me, and I'm going to slow down here because I want to talk about this because I don't want this to go away. Father Provone, who was speaking this March at Dr. James Kennedy's Reclaiming America Convention in Fort Lauderdale, says clearly on his website, America will not be against abortion until America sees abortion. I hold the view similar. That if everybody who is for the killing of these babies had to sit through one murder session, they just might change their minds. At this prayer convention, with great boldness, the leadership showed abortions. But Brother Ted said this to me, which is a new insight. Not only have we killed 45 million Americans this way in 30 years, but some of those people would have been in the 30-year-old age group now. So we have not only lost 45 million taxpayers, Social Security payers, who knows how many doctors, preachers, lawyers, and professional people, but we've lost all the children that they would have had. What an insight, Pastor. The devil is a murderer. And Jesus is the giver of life. He's indifferent to the truth. There's no truth in him, saith the scriptures. He is a liar and the father of lies. We learn that he's a tempter. He provoked Israel, tempted them, provoked David. He's a resister of everyone who sets out to do good. When you set your face and your heart in the right direction, you will get opposition. He's against those who do good. He is a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, the scripture says. He's a destroyer. He can get control of people. In other words, people can yield to him and end up under his control. And there are several levels in which that occurs. The ultimate level is what is called demon possession, where absolute turning oneself over to the devil has occurred. He can get control of people. He never does good. Jesus said a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. That's why Satan doesn't do good, because he's against good. He has disguises, however. In fact, we learned that a couple of weeks ago that he comes disguised as an angel of light. He comes looking like a good guy. He doesn't come looking like a devil. By the way, the people he uses can come looking like really nice people too. They can dress up. You'll find a lot of them in Hollywood. You'll find, you know, slums isn't just in the slums. You can go downtown to the high-rise office building. All it is slums in dressed-up clothes. When I talk about slums, I'm not talking about an economic condition. I'm talking about a moral depravity. Satan authors sickness and disease. He can possess persons. Oh, I don't know what. Satan seeks to get advantage over us. He has evil intentions for good people. He is a hinderer, even of good people. Remember, Paul said, Paul the Apostle, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered us. Imagine that. Satan can produce supernatural signs. The Bible calls them lying wonders. Satan is a deceiver. We learn that he is an accuser. He's a condemner. He points his finger at you. You know something? It's something you need to know about Jesus. You know what he said? I can come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus said he did not come to condemn the world, but that the whole world through him would be saved. He didn't. We're condemned already. He didn't come to condemn us. Satan is a condemner. Satan orchestrates the unconverted to interfere with God's children. That's why it may seem like there are people against you, but really, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. And then he's very wicked. No restraint at all. No conscience, no compunctions about good. And then lastly, we learn that he is your adversary. The devil, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's against you. He is against you. And it's that simple. God is for you, and Satan is against you. It's that simple. Now, in that same session, we learned how to respond to Satan. We learned seven things. Then we'll get on to tonight's. We learned that we're to put on the whole armor of God as listed in Ephesians chapter 6. And without extensive review of that tonight, hopefully you know that. And if you don't, get the teaching tapes and learn it. And then we need to know his devices. The scripture says we're not ignorant of his device. We know how. You need to know what's happening to you when it's Satan. If you don't know that what's happening to you is satanically inspired and brought to you, you won't deal with Satan. You'll just think it's circumstances or bad luck. Need to discern that The devices that are being used against you come from him. And then I don't know how I got these colors mixed up. We need to give him no place. That is zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. And then we need to be serious and watchful about his activity in our lives. He's a sneak. He doesn't announce his arrival. He slithers like a snake on the ground between the rocks. He sneaks. And that's why the scripture says that we should be diligent. Be serious. For your adversary, the devil. What's the first? Be sober. Be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, goes about seeking whom you may devour. And then we learn in that same session, that we are to resist him and to do so steadfastly. And we learn a delightful truth, two truths you need to know. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he, the devil, will flee from you. We are not afraid of the devil. We are not to be afraid of the devil. We know he's bad, but you're going to find out tonight why you should never be afraid of the devil. And the scriptures teach us clearly that if we are submissive to God and we resist Satan, that he will flee from us. And then we learned to do what Jesus did. Remember, Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. And every remark Jesus made to Satan in the temptation was a quotation directly out of the pages of the Bible. So we learn to speak authoritatively to Satan with the words of God, which have the power to defeat him every time. And Jesus stuck three words in front of his quotes. It is written, and then he would quote the scripture. It is written. It is written. And then he quoted the scripture. So that's how we speak to Satan. And then we ended up with learning that we need to exercise the authority of Christ in dealing with the devil. And that's our subject tonight. Our subject tonight is actually point number 7, exercising the authority of Christ. So now we're on page 2, and fresh stuff coming up. First step to exercising the authority of Christ is to be able to affirmly answer the question that we have indeed received Christ into our lives. Not as a theory, not as a philosophy, not as a theology, but have had a personal experience where we had this wonderful entrance of Jesus coming into our hearts. He actually comes in. Is that wonderful? Is it wonderful that Jesus, listen to his words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, anybody that believeth on me, as the scripture says, said, out of you will flow this river of living water. As he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him would receive. We receive the Spirit of Jesus. We receive Jesus right into our hearts. And that's why the scripture that you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a gazillion scriptures we could do on this front end, but I thought this was so basic, nobody would need a whole bunch of scriptures about this one. Let me give you one. In case you really don't have Jesus. You may have had religion, you may have gone to church, you may have known a lot about it, but you can know a lot about it without having it. Here's what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. He said, behold, I stand at the door
The door of your heart.
And I knock. Somewhere I'm going to make knock here. There we go. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, any woman, I want you not to miss this. Because there is circulating in Christianity the notion, false notion, that only certain ones can be saved and not others. That some have been predetermined by God to be unable to respond to Him and to have Him. That's not what this verse says. Stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, I will come into him. I will come into him. I do you remember when that occurred? It is without contest the greatest event in any human person's life. That moment of surrender when Jesus came walking out of the pages of the Bible right into your heart. But it doesn't end there. If any man will open the door, I will come into him. Next phrase. I will sup with him. I will fellowship with him. The entrance is only the beginning. There's a continuance of this great durative, ongoing, emotive, everyday relationship with the same Jesus. So that he is as alive in us today as he was that night or that day when he first came in. Now, I suggest to you that in order to exercise the authority of Christ on this planet, the starting point is this blessed entrance of Jesus. To have Jesus. Oh, it seems I have to linger here some more. This is not an issue of academics. This is Christ in you. The hope of glory. Paul said it was so important that he counted everything but loss. Not just the bad stuff, but the good stuff. I counted all but loss that I might win him. It was his supreme desire. In another verse, he put it this way. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, the testimony of every saint who can say with the great apostle, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Jesus in you is the big starting point of real life. It is your moment of deliverance, that first meeting, for if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Something so supernatural happens, it's inexplicable. Psychologists can't describe it. Scientists cannot define it. Because it's not wrapped up in theory or formula, but in a person. A person who loves you supremely. For greater loveth no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. Thus the cross, symbol that we keep before us as a remembrance of what he did and what he has yet to do. I want you to know the cross has, he's not on the cross anymore. You know why? Because he rose from the dead. And those who still have him on the cross have got the wrong picture. Because he isn't on the cross anymore. He is now able to come into the life of anyone who will sincerely say, I want you, God. If you want me, I want you. And thus, supernatural events occur all over the world where this Jesus is preached. It starts with having Jesus. Second, you need to know, now that you have received him, that his power in you is greater than the power that is in the world. Now, the person who is empowering the world, his name is Satan. Now, I want you to see the scripture. You're of God. Well, isn't that warm and delightful? Little children. And you've overcome. All the adversity. Here's why. How do you overcome? How is it possible that you overcome? Watch the scripture now. Because greater is he, Jesus, that is in you than he, the devil, that is in the world. If you are going to exercise the authority of Christ, you need to have him, and you need to know that having Jesus inside you is greater than every devil and any demon that you will ever face in your life. If you don't know that the greater one lives in you, then you will live in fear. This is a great verse to memorize. In fact, personalize it. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You need to get that through in your spirit. It begins by knowing that you have Christ, and that in having him, he is greater inside you. Here's another verse. Now, here's an analogy given to us here. Now, watch this. Jesus is a speaker, and he says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and steal his goods, spoil his goods, mess up, ransack the house, except he will first bind the strong man. So if you're the strong man that lives in a house, and somebody comes to break in to steal, They're going to have to deal with you first before they can damage your children, your household, your wife, your assets. Right? Now, let me tell you something. You have a strong man inside you. Remember the verse before? Greater is he that is in you. There's a strong man in you, and you don't have to worry about the devil anymore, because before the devil could get into your life and damage your goods, he has to deal with a Jesus that's in you. That's why you're safe. That's why you're secure. That's why you're in good hands. Because you got a strong man inside you, and he is greater. Caution. Don't ever forsake the strong man. People desert Jesus. Some intentionally, some inadvertently. They just forget about him and go about their preoccupations. That's why you want to keep in the right relationship with Jesus all the time. Because if you do, the strong man Jesus living in you, devil can't mess with you without messing with Jesus, and he's no match for Jesus. You got it? You got the picture? All right, number three. You need to know that Christ has passed on to you his authority, his power. Wasn't this delightful? Look at the scripture. Jesus is a speaker. And look what he says. Behold, I give unto you power. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions. You look these up in the Greek text, they refer to demons. Now watch this. I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now you got to have this straight. You got to have Jesus. You got to know that he's stronger than anybody that's against you, and everybody that anything that's against you, any devil, any demon. And number three, you need to understand that he has passed unto you his authority to act. Now watch this. Because this is the Greek word for power here. I give unto you exousia. And without going through all of them, here's delegated influence. Well, let's name some of them. Force. I give you the capacity. I give you the competency. I give you the freedom, the mastery, the superhuman ability, the potentate. I give you the ability to control, delegate in the flu. That's what Jesus says he's given you. Whatever power Jesus has, he gives to you. Now, I want you to look at the next word in this text, because behold, I give unto you exousia to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis is the word here. The word from which we get dynamite of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So while Satan has this, we have this. And you can see by the definition that this one has precedence and superiority over this. then he has not only given you this authority, but he has assigned us the use of his name. He has given you the use of his name. Now watch the scripture, and then I'm going to explain it a little bit. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now watch this, because here's the use of his name. In my name shall they. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up demons. If somebody puts poison, it won't hurt you. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But I want you to notice that it is in his name. He has given you the right to exercise authority by use of his signature. A few days ago, we sat in a lawyer's office, and it was transitions taking place, and I have been given by my wife, and as I have given her on occasion, power of attorney. The right to sign for her, she has the right to sign for me. And that what that means is that when I show up in a court or a legal system or a bank or an institution, that by presenting that document, I demonstrate that my signature on the line is as legally binding as if she were there herself signing it, and vice versa, if she were the one that was signing for me. Power of attorney. That is precisely what Jesus has given us. Power of attorney. To function in his name. In fact, let's talk about some of the things that we are told in the scriptures that we can do in his name. Number one, we gather in his name. Did you know that? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he promised his personal presence. It doesn't take 20 or 50 or 500 or 1,000. It takes two or three. And then he said, and I'll slow down here because I can't help but want to talk about children. Because I want to have the attitude towards children that Jesus has towards children. And that's why I'm pro-life. And that's why I'm against pro-choice. Because pro-choice is giving people the choice to kill children. I'm against it. I say I'm against it. Are you? Are you against it? Some of you are muttering a little bit. You ought to be adamant about this. Here's Jesus. And he says, except you be converted and become as little children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I'm not sure I heard all your question. You might get me into trouble if I do that. It's shocking. The day will come when the lamb and the lion will lay down together. and the child will lead them. Isn't that something? There is, you know, we got a couple baby dedications coming up, which are going to be absolutely delightful times. And I may wish to save some of my remarks to them or I won't get finished tonight. But I believe that God places children on a pedestal. It doesn't say, except you become childish, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. As the word childish implying silly or playful. Trusting. You know, a child doesn't have a choice, does he? But they will, you know, children will still trust anyhow. It's intuitive. It's a part of their disposition. All right, if we're going to talk about it, let me get something else out of me then. One of the greatest crimes that takes place on this planet is when adults betray the trust of children. I struggle with this because I happen to know 100 stories. Of children. Whose parents purposefully, willfully, habitually abused them in assorted. You heard the news late. The devil is after children. He uses adults who should know better to damage children, because usually if he can damage children, those children will stay damaged all of their lives. Unless they encounter the stronger one, Jesus. This scripture, to follow a little farther, says, humble. Humble himself as a little child. Now, if you are of the opinion today that children are not humble, it's because they have had bad examples around them and have not been taught properly, which is one of the greatest abuses of children today, is plain old-fashioned neglect. But a child trained right will end right. Scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, that word even, I've stuck it in there because it's in the Hebrew literal translation. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Neglect. A child's humility is demonstrated by following instructions. Do you know it takes humility to be the servant, not the Lord? To be the student and not the teacher? To be the child and not the parent? Now, they may test the authority to see if it's a real authority. That's why they push against it, and that's why when it's met with loving discipline, they now know their limits. They don't go by it anymore. It's that simple. So becoming... one of the scriptures to support that my what I'm saying here, listen to this one. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So here is this child, humble enough, when Jesus called the child to stand up in front of them, The child just did. Except you'd be like this. Well, I better not linger here too much. We won't get through. But I'll come to that more of this. No. Watch this. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Now, this is impacting. Receiving children in his name. And Jesus is so emphatic about this that he exclaims that it's like receiving himself. These are mine. In fact, let me show you how strong Jesus feels about this. You ready? Look at the next verse. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. Now watch this. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus wants children so protected that he proclaims his disposition about it emphatically and says that if you offend one of these, it would be better if we got a big cement anchor, tied it around your neck, and put you in the St. John's River than to let you offend one of these little ones. That's how serious a crime it is. To hurt children, to let them down, to betray them, to be insensitive to them, to be discompassionate, to be neglectful. It would be better. I mean, this is Matthew. Let me tell you what Luke says. Let me quote Luke for you. It is impossible that offenses will come. But woe to him through whom they come. Referring to the same child context. It were better for him that a millstone be hung about his neck, he be cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. We need to sing those. When he cometh, you make up his jewel. Somehow we got the idea that adulthood was better than child's life. Shouldn't be, not in Jesus' book. We get to receive children in his name. Oh my goodness. I might have to quit here. We're not going to get very far. We give in his name. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink. Now watch this. In my name. Because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. A cup of water, certain circumstances when it can save your life. But we give. Whatever we give it. In the name of the Lord. Whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We use his name to do Christ's works. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That the Father may be glorified, if you ask anything in my name. Power of attorney. It's going to happen. It's going to be true. We use the name of Jesus. We use the name of Jesus to cast out spirits. This woman was falling around these disciples. Paul was one of them, saying, these men are really wonderful. Paul looked past this woman's, whether mockery or seemingly sincere statement, and saw that an evil spirit was behind it. And he was grieved, and he turned, and he said to the spirit, I command thee, look at this, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And that evil spirit came out of her the same hour. We used the name of Jesus to cast out spirits. You know, let me give you the seven, then we'll go back to the exercising authority. But before I do, you need to know this, that demonic influences in America and around the world today are greater in influence than they've ever been. You can find this explained in the book of Revelation, that the wrath of Satan is going to become greater because his end is in view and the time is shorter. An escalation of demonic activity is happening. If you can't see it and hear it, every time you turn on the news, there's something wrong with us. The power to cast out spirits is done in the name of Jesus. And I assure you that if we have Christ and we know that He is bigger in us than the enemy in the world, and that He's given His authority to us to act, and that we are to speak in His name, that the same things that Christ did, we can do also. Because of this, we are baptized in His name. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you want to see the miraculous, the song we sung tonight, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Notice this, such as I have. He knew he had Jesus inside him. He knew Jesus inside him was bigger than the devils in the world. He knew that he'd been given the authority. He had this possession in him, this living Christ. So he said, such as I have, I'm going to give it to you. And how did he dispense with what he had inside of it? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the next verse, he was walking and leaping and praising God. What we've learned tonight is we have learned to know that you have Christ, to know that Christ in you is greater than the enemies in the world. And we have learned that we need to know that He has given us His authority to act. And we are to use His name with authority. Next Wednesday night, I'll give you the last three, is it? And I want to spend time on them anyhow. And so rather than give you tidbits of it tonight, next Wednesday night, these next three will bring it together for you, how you can exercise Christ's authority over the devil and over demons within your jurisdiction. Amen. Tonight when you go home, if your home, your house has seemed oppressive, you walk in room by room and you possess it in the name of Jesus. And you cast out every evil spirit. Has no place. Let this vessel be clean. In Jesus' name.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.